How are you all this morning? Good. It's so good. Restored's like one of my favorite places, churches. I love you all. Love connecting with you all, connecting with your leaders. So it is so good. Let's pray. We've already been praying, but let's keep the attitude of prayer. And God, we thank you. We love you, God. Thank you that your presence has been here already. And Lord, we just quiet our hearts, ask you just to invade us right now, to speak, to minister to us, to encourage us, God. Pray the word of God would go really deep in us, God. That we'd be open, that we'd respond. God, I pray that for those that are here today that have been on the fence, of really diving in with you, that today you'd move them a little closer to you today. God, where there have been lies and that have spoken against us, that we're not worthy, that we are can't really access you, then God, I pray you would confront those lies in our hearts. So we just say yes to you. Invade us, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to talk about having access today in the kingdom, access. I feel like the Lord really gave me specific thoughts and words, but as I think about it, and as I talked with Pastor Rob, I really hope I don't say anything new today. I feel like I'm going to give a message that is built on the principles of Restored, that's kind of in the heart of Restored. It's in your very DNA, but sometimes it's just good to be reminded of who we are. And sometimes we try to go and get real complicated. I just want to be very basic about our identity in Christ, about the access we have. But maybe we can make a connection. Sometimes we hear things over and over and it just sticks right here, right, in our minds. And it's a concept, it's a truth, but it maybe hasn't gone here to that heart connection. And so I'm just praying that today, that we can be connected to Jesus, connected in our hearts. So that's my prayer. How many of you like to go to the beach? Okay. How many of you, when you go to the beach, you like to just chill out in the sand? Just hang out, lay out, get sun. And you just want to stay right there, like just watch, right? Some of you do that. How many of you actually want to get into the ocean and swim a little bit when you're there? Okay. How many of you want to go a little deeper and put some snorkel gear on and actually look? Some of you? And how many of you want to go even riskier and actually put scuba gear on and go as deep? Has anybody ever scuba dived in here? A few of you? Like, scuba diving's another level, right? Scuba diving, like, snorkeling's all good because you can come up, and if you get a little water, I mean, you're just right there. Scuba diving, you put gear on, you got this tank, and you go 10 feet, 20 feet, 30, you can go up to like 100 feet below, right? But you can't panic. If you have issues of panic attacks, I seriously suggest do not scuba dive for real. Because if you freak out, you don't just go up to the top, right? And so scuba diving is a big deal. I'm going to think about today as that is one of our images for the Lord's presence and the access we have with him. You see, some of us, if we're in Christ, I'm going to suggest that starts at the beach, okay? So if you're not in Christ, you're still driving around, like you see the beach, you're waving. But if you're in Christ, I'm going to say you're at the beach, right? And you're there. You're on vacation. But see, there's levels, isn't there? Some of us, if I would suggest that the Lord's presence, that the kingdom of God is this ocean that's endless, some of us are merely at the beach just hanging out. Some of you have stuck in your feet in. You're in the water a little bit, but maybe that's as far as you've gone because, for whatever reason, you've got fears of water, right? I mean, there's reasons why you don't swim in the ocean, right? There's real fears. How many of you aren't ashamed to say you've got a real fear of water? A real fear of swimming? Anybody? A few of us? It's okay. People have real fears, right? But I think in the same way, some of us have fears of the Lord, fears to really approach him, fears because he's this holy God and somehow I don't really have access to him. And so you've just been content to stick on the beach, or maybe you've gone in the water and you're swimming a little bit, or maybe you're snorkeling and you're looking. I want to suggest that there's an invitation for all of you in Jesus Christ to scuba dive, to go as deep as you want. There is endless supply of his love and endless supply of his beauty, endless supply of his grace, and it's up to you to explore, but there's some barriers that keep us, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, if you were right now to be adopted by Bill Gates, would that change your life, your situation? Do you think you'd have debt anymore if you were adopted by Bill Gates? Would you have any debt? Think about that. Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world. It would change a few things about you. You might get a new house, a new car. And you may actually move somewhere, right? I want to suggest to us that being adopted in Christ is far more valuable, far more important. Think about that. You guys, if you are in Christ, you have a new dad. You have a new father. I know a lot of us in here, the name of the church, Restored, is great. The reason it's a restored nation is because that means we were restored from something, right? I mean, we actually have this thing, our BC days, right? And we share them and we bring them up. But the problem is those days sometimes kind of stay close to us. And so it's like you've been adopted. You have this new dad, a new heavenly father that's got every riches. He's got every spiritual blessing, Ephesians says. Everything for you. But you have to learn how to access it. And the problem is we've been adopted in Christ, but some of us have not moved. Some of us haven't changed locations. You're just staying in your same house and nothing's changed for you. And so you come here and you're walking in and you're singing, but the reality is you're saying, that's not my reality. So today I'm going to try to make it very, very plain to us, the reality we have in the kingdom of God. Could you imagine if I love sports, trying to be less and less than that, but I still enjoy on the Royals, they're in first place. It's kind of amazing. Could you imagine, bottom of the ninth inning, bases are loaded, and you hit a home run, and you just decide to stop at first base because you're too tired. I mean, you just don't want to run the bases. Could you imagine that, just stopping? Could you imagine if you're a race car and you have an amazing amount of horsepower and you decide to get in a NASCAR race? You just go 60 miles an hour, so you want to obey the speed limit. And it's your time to go 180 miles an hour. Could you imagine that? I just think that's what it's like. So I'm giving you lots of analogies. Hopefully this is connecting somewhere. You have an amazing amount of power. You have an amazing new identity. But we've got to learn how to access it. So we're going to talk about three ways to access it. Ephesians 3 says, verse 11, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So our three things. We have access to his presence, to the very throne room. We talked about that in worship already, to the very throne room of God. We have access. We have access to his victory, the victory of God, and we have access to his power. So each point, we're going to have a lie, we're going to talk about a lie, then we're going to talk about a scripture and the truth that goes with that, all right? All right, so you have the first point. You have access to the very presence of God. To the actual throne room of God, you have access to feel love, to feel security, to belong, to receive healing. You have access to the Lord's presence. But here's the lie. I have too much sin. There's too much ugliness. God doesn't love me that much. I can never be holy enough to enter in his presence. That this grace isn't totally free. Salvation might be free initially, but after I've blown it over and over, then I can't access it anymore. That I'm going to have to earn it and try it. I think some of us believe that lie. But I do sometimes. That I can't really access it fully. Okay, well, what's the Word of God say? Well, let's look at the history briefly of the Lord's presence. The history of the presence of God. So we won't go all the way back. Well, the presence of God, first we see it in the garden. The presence of God came to the garden. And so there's through Genesis we could trace that. But in Exodus, the Lord's presence really starts getting real with the people of Israel, right? And he speaks to them on the mountain. And then he actually has this design, this tabernacle that then comes to a temple, right? And so that's where the Lord's presence, the very real presence of God, would come in the Shekinah glory. And it would enter where? Where would the Lord's presence really live? In the Holy of Holies. Okay, so here's how you had to go to the Lord's presence. Only one person out of one tribe, out of one people in the whole world had access to that Holy of Holies. Only one. So first you had to be an Israelite. You had to be of the right people. Then you had to be of the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. And then out of that, one person was the most high priest. And then within that, one day a year, they could literally walk in, and then it was this whole ceremony, right? To enter the very real presence of God. And we know what happens if they didn't take the right precautions. They could die, right? If they would just walk in. I mean, literally, God's presence was so holy, you would die, right? Now, there's other instances where people had the presence of God, and David danced before the presence of God. And so it wasn't only in the Holy of Holies, but that's where, in a sense, he resided, in the Holy of Holies. So think about that. None of us, I don't think, are Levites in here. So think, for all those years, thousands and thousands of years, you would have never had access to the very real presence of God. But then Jesus comes, right? Jesus comes on the scene, and we know what happens. He changes everything. What happened when he died on the cross? The veil tore, right? It signified that the old system was gone. And now suddenly he made a way for everybody, right? We know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. That now you have access to this presence. That you can come. That now the Holy Spirit, where does the Holy Spirit come and live? In us. God said, I designed the human body to actually host the presence of God. And Paul says, you are now the temple of God. The very temple. Think of that temple that was majestic. The presence of God comes and lives inside of you. So listen to these scriptures in Hebrews 4. It says, since then we have a great high priest. Who's our high priest? Jesus. Who's passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Listen to what he says then. He says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Do you understand what this text is saying? It's not saying go to the temple that's on earth. He's actually saying you have an invitation to the throne room of God. This is not an analogy. This isn't symbolism. I realize we live right here on earth. I realize we're not living in heaven right now physically. I understand this is all you see, but you need to understand something, saints. You actually have a dual citizenship, and it really happens right now. As soon as you are in Christ, you actually, Ephesians 2 says, you are seated in the heavenly realms. I mean, I don't understand it. But we've got to use our imaginations that you actually somehow right now have a seat, a chair in heaven, okay? You are living there. I mean, you're sitting there right now as you speak. This is something we believe by faith, right? I mean, this is where it says by faith. Okay, just go with me here. This is not symbolism. This is your reality. You are seated. There is a real chair in the heavenly realms, in the throne room of God. Remember those amazing beings, the seraphim that are flying and singing, holy, 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 right? Revelations 4 and 5. You guys, that's where your seat is. You have a chair there. I mean, it's there. It says you're seated in the heavenly places. And so you're there. And so whether it's Paul or whoever wrote in Hebrews, some people think Paul, we don't necessarily know, says, come on in there. Draw near to the throne room of God to receive grace and mercy in your time of need. Now, how do we get there? Do we just do that anytime we want? Well, let's see what later it says in Hebrews 10. It says, therefore, brothers, we'll include sisters and children, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. So I think that's an amazing passage. So the reality is a lot of us have done some crazy things. We've seen a lot of things, and so our consciences have been seared. Our hearts are seared. We have things that are really true about us in the flesh, in the past. So we really need to be purified. See, the old system didn't work. And we know that. And that's what Hebrews talks about. This old system, this old pattern didn't work. They didn't actually, the blood of goats and lambs and sheep didn't actually cleanse them. They had to keep doing it year after year. And so Jesus came, and in one death, in 1 6-hour on the cross, the blood of Jesus purifies every single sin, every conscience, everything in one moment. So I want to suggest to you this morning that you have very real access to the presence of God, and it's simply by applying the blood of Jesus fresh every single day. I think we need to learn this, that it's every single day. I can draw near, come near to this loving God that loves me, that sees everything I have, that I can actually come on in to him, that I don't have to clean myself up first. See, I think that's the mistake. I think some of us think, well, I've got to actually become better now, and I've got to do all this stuff so that he'll actually accept me, right? And then I can come in. See, if we had an invitation to President Obama, we would clean up. We wouldn't just go after work all sweaty and grubby. We would take time. We'd fix our hair up and, right, shave and do all this stuff. And we would be dressed up, and then we would enter into the present. Oh, hi, President Obama. And we would be very on guard in how we acted, right? And so I think that that's transferred to this, to the love of God, to the presence of God. We think because he's holy, that somehow I have to do something. That I got to clean myself up. I got to get rid of all this sin. I've got to act good. And now I can actually come to church, right? How many of you thought you had to be a good person before you came to church? Before you were saved, you thought church is only for good people, right? Some of us believe that, right? And so you find out, well, there are places like Lighthouse and Restored where I don't have to clean myself up. And I think it's the same thing for the presence of God. So I'm here to tell you, the only way you get to the presence of God is nothing you do except accept and let the blood of Jesus come wash over you. Then you go up there, and then you deal with your problems. See, it says, then you find your grace and mercy in your time of need. It's not before. It's not like if this is the presence of God, I say, okay, God, I get healthy and hit. Okay, now I'm perfect, and now it's you and me. No, the thing is, I'm here, and it's Jesus. You know how messed up I am. I confess my need. And God, I allow the blood of Jesus just to wash, cleanse me right now. You know, we don't mince over that. I don't make it lightly, right? But it's just the blood of Jesus. I say, God, I need a fresh application. Would you come wash? Just picture myself. You know, just the blood of Jesus cleansing my brain, my thoughts. Just rest. And then I'm just coming right in because I need some serious help today, God. God, I've got this problem with my kids, or I've got this anger issue. But thank you that the blood of Jesus is covering me, that I can come in and you're not going to hurt me, God. That your holiness isn't going to break out against me. I'm not going to die here. Thank you that there's safety. And so you can just use your imagination. See, I think the imagination's an amazing thing. But I think the enemy's jacked it. He's hijacked it. And so that's why pornography is such a big thing, right? Think about it, guys. Women, we struggle. Think of our thought life, right? And how easy it is to imagine something else sinful, right? We picture ourselves doing sin and picture. I think it's just time to let the blood of Jesus recapture our imagination. And so you just, I don't know what it would be like to enter the throne room of God, but I can read the scripture and I can say, okay, God, I'm going to try to come in. I'm going to try to picture myself in this seat and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to have a talk with you. I'm going to allow your love to wash over me. See, what if we started our days that way? Would that change something, you guys? I mean, wouldn't that change something if you viewed yourself that and these lies were off you, that you actually had access to his presence? I'm here to tell you, you have access to the very presence of God. Nothing you did to deserve it. It's only the blood of Jesus. You just need to learn to accept that for your life. So that's point one. Number two, because we have access to his presence, now we have access to his victory. Jesus' death on the cross has given us victory over our sin, victory over our sicknesses. You need to understand this morning, you are free from every single sin. You are free. You are done with sin. You don't need to keep dwelling in your sin. You really can live in freedom. Here's the lie. I will be trapped with this sin. This sin or addiction belongs to me. It's part of my identity. I will never get true freedom. I have fallen so much. I will never be free. So I will never lose weight. I will never quit lusting. I'll never be a good dad. I'll never be a good mom. I'll never work hard. I'll always be lazy. I'm dumb. I'm stupid. Whatever your lie is, it's actually became a part of you. I will be like this forever. That's the lie. So, we need to see what God's word says. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, so we do walk with this stuff, right? It's a part of us. But we're not waging war against, according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Hebrews 2, 14-16 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So here's the thing. This is true of us. Just like we have true to be in his presence, it's true that you're free, you're whole, you're righteous, you're redeemed, you're restored. All of that is true right now of you. I don't care if you've been a Christian one day, one week, one month, 10 years, 20 years, if you're the pastor of this church or you're one of the elders. You're completely free. It doesn't matter what your role is here. You are completely free. But the devil says, well, yeah, but that's true part of the time, but not in this area. See, he whispers to you, and he comes and says, you are never, that sin that's been a part of you since when you were 8 years old, that's always going to be a part of you. That's your identity. And then so some of us kind of like it, right? We actually do kind of like sin. Can we admit that? we actually, it's kind of fun and comfortable at one level. I mean, we wouldn't do it, right? But quickly it's not fun, and quickly we recognize the pain. But there's that side, that there's some comfort to that sin, right? There's comfort, and so we stay close to it. We say, well, I don't know if I can live without it. It's been a part of me my whole life. And so the enemy just has access to you. So you guys know what a foothold and a stronghold are? See, a foothold's just like this. It's a little open door. It's something that you maybe gave over. Just a little foothold. It's like a little thing that the enemy come. But then, you know, you can shut that door. That stronghold, you just start believing that lie over and over. And so the enemy, I don't know how these things work in the spiritual realm. Just like I don't understand how we're seated in the heavenly realms. I just know a stronghold. I've had him in my life and I've seen him. I just know it's giving an absolute open door to the enemy in your mind, and that he can come anytime and whisper a thought and then you agree with it. So this thought that I'm not good enough, right? That I'll always be this way. So you try, and we try, and we really try to get discipline because we think it's our effort, okay? So how many of you have set goals? January 1st, I want to try to lose weight, I want to try to do this, I want to try to read my Bible every day this year. And so we try really hard to do something, to change, but then after a week or two, by then you haven't done it. And so the enemy says, yeah, I knew you couldn't do it. I knew that you couldn't do it. And it's just a thought planted, right? And we just say, yeah, you know, I'm never going to be disciplined. And we just agree with the enemy. We just agree with him. And when we do, we start getting strongholds set up. So you need to understand that you have access to his victory. The victory of Christ. This is, again, something you can do. It's by grace. Grace that we accept us, the mercy of God, that we have access to him, to access to the victory he did. I wonder if Christ died for just part of our sins. Think, or all of them? Did it say he died? And that passage in 1 Peter 2, he says, by 10% of your wounds you've been healed. Did it say that? No, by his wounds. All 100% of the wounds that he took up, you are healed. All of his wounds. All of his. And so I felt like as I kneeled there by the cross, here was the picture I got, that some of us feel like we have to beat ourselves up. And so I felt like, I don't know if this is for somebody here, but I had an image that felt like I've got to beat myself up so that God will accept me and that somehow I'll get this victory. Because I just can't deserve it. I can't earn it. And I've got to do something back because Christ did. I've just got to somehow. And so we just beat ourselves up over and over and over. We beat ourselves for the way we look, for the way we talk. You want to be really honest? Can I be honest with you guys? Here's how I beat myself up. I think, okay, I'm 38 years old. I grew up in a strong Christian home. I've been a missionary for 15 years, shouldn't I be beyond that sin? Shouldn't I be a little bit further? And so I struggle with these things that I feel like are, you know, I don't know, basic sins, I don't know. And I think, man, why am I not over that by this point of my life? And I just beat myself up. And Taryn, pretty soon we're giving access in our brains and our minds and our thoughts to the enemy, instead of to the Lord. So we need to uncover those lies. And we need to stop agreeing with them. Do you understand that the devil has no power over you at all? He can't do anything to you. He can't make you do anything. The only thing the enemy does is he can come and whisper lies. Now, they're powerful lies. And they've got a little bit of truth mixed in. That's the problem. A little bit, but then he twists them, and then we just agree with him. You give him a place, say yes, and some of us have believed these lies for so long, for 10 years, 20 years, right? Some of them are lies because we've had abuse and had real things happen to us, right? And so we do need help. And that's why I believe wholeheartedly in deliverance ministry. That's why I feel like God's birth, CTV, fire, Christ Victor fire, part of the Christ Victor movement is I feel like we've got to have the real presence of God to bring healing and wholeness. And sometimes it's a battle, right? And we need brothers and sisters to come alongside and pray over these because sometimes it is hard to do this on our own. And there's these lies and we got to break them and sometimes there's real strongholds and we need help. You need to know that you are free. You have access to the very real victory of God. And then thirdly, you have access to God's power for ministry, to see salvations, to see the sick raised, or see the sick healed and the dead raised to life, to see the demons cast out. You have access to the very power of God. God has given this church real power, real anointing to see a restored movement, to see a movement of people totally restored, healed, delivered, redeemed. God has given power to see this movement explode all over the earth. But here's the lie. Ministry is only for superheroes. This power is only available to elders. This power is only available to the pastors. Only for the spiritual people. They're the only ones that get this power. It's a lie that says you can't minister, that you don't have access to this power. That's only for like the real Christians, right? They're the ones that get this power. Like after you've done a lot, you get this power and you get to do the cool parts of ministry. Or another lie says, that's big out there, that says this ministry doesn't even happen today. The Holy Spirit's change. There's not real power, healing, sick, deliverances, but God doesn't want to do that anymore. And so that's another lie. So then we believe, well, God, do you still move that way? And then we start questioning, and we use our intellect, right, only. God has given us real power. So what does God's word say? Matthew 10, 1 and 7. He says, and he called to them his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority. If somebody gives you authority, what does that mean? If you give authority to somebody, what does that mean? You have authority to carry out what that person had authority to give you. He says, authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease. Did he say some of them, like just a few of them, or every disease? He said every disease and every affliction. And then verse 7, he says, proclaim as you go, the kingdom of hand. Of heaven is at hand to heal the sick, raise the dead, to cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without pain, give without pay. See, then Matthew 28 says what? It says, I've given you all authority. Go out and make disciples of all nations, right? Teaching them to do what? Teaching them to do what? To obey what? Everything I've commanded you. See, so we like this verse, and we use it for evangelism, rightfully so, right? We want to go in all the nations, and we use it for discipleship. But Jesus did say, everything I have commanded you. What did he command them? To preach the kingdom and heal the sick and raise the dead. See, that's this package deal together. But somehow we've divorced them. We said, well, we just need to preach the gospel. That's all we need. No, people need a real demonstration of the power of God. They need to see that God's still alive, that he still cares for them, that he still wants to raise the dead and heal the sick, that he still wants to bring fire on people. And then we do preach the kingdom. It's this dual package together. But see, we just look at Matthew 28. Well, it's just about evangelism and discipleship. But he said, everything I've commanded. And this is not for the super Christians. Isn't it for people like me that are missionaries? This is for you. This is the real power. You guys can do this. This should be part of life groups on Wednesdays. We just pray, and it should just be happening. It should just be normal. You're at Walmart, and you just pray, and you just pray for people, and people are healed. It's normal ministry. This isn't like ministry, you know, the upper level of ministry. Like, this is just what Christ did. Colossians 2, 9 to 10. says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So think about that. All the fullness, the very presence lives, the fullness of who God is came and lived in Christ, right? That's amazing. But then here's what it says in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Who's the head of every body? So that means the fullness of Christ, God that's in Christ is now in you. That means the very power and resurrection of Jesus lives in you. So how much power does it take to actually raise somebody from the dead? Like, that's a lot of power, you guys, and that power lives inside of you. John 14, 12 to 14 says, very truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. What were Jesus' works? What were his works, Ty? He healed people. It's just the works of Jesus, right? The kingdom of God came. He forgave me. He says, you will do the works of me. Now, that's pretty cool. Like, if we got to do what Jesus did, that's awesome. But he says, you will do even greater things than me. I mean, that verse messes me up. You guys will have, God wants you to have a bigger ministry than Jesus Christ did on earth. This is not the call of a few of us. That doesn't mean he wants every person to be on TV and have healing ministries and preaching all over. But I mean, he really wants you to affect your people and do greater things than he did for his glory. I mean, that verse messes me up. I'm just going to be really honest. I don't understand it. Now again, is this just for the disciples? I mean, that's the argument. We could just say, well, this was for the first 12. They did that. But see, we apply some of the verses for us, but no, I just would say, let's just believe that this is for us. That Jesus did this to the 12, to the apostles, but then this is the ministry he wants us to do. It says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. I just believe God wants to move in a powerful way. I just believe that what we see in the Bible, what we see overseas, God doing miracles, thousands and thousands of people coming to the Lord. We've seen it on TV. I just believe he wants to do it in our American cities. I believe he wants to do it in a place like Wichita, Kansas. I believe he wants to do it in places like Lighthouse, Restored, Christ the Victor, the places that people are not looking for revival to come. I believe he might want to raise someone in here to be a prophet, to be an evangelist, to start a movement of God, and to see thousands and thousands of people coming into the Lord. But it's going to take understanding that you have access to his very real power. Now here's the thing, it's a little dangerous, right? We have a ministry of Christ the Victor Fire. I'm seeing that fire is real fire. Power is real power. And so it's easy for us to just, and I think that's what we've done in the West. We've just gotten comfortable and we've just stayed away from it, right? So we just stay on the beach, don't we? We just stay close. Well, that's, again, maybe I don't deserve, or maybe I'm just nervous about it. I'm just nervous to get out there. I don't know what's going to happen. See, there's a giving up of control at this level, right? There is a cost to live this way. This demands everything you have. So you have access to these three things, but there's a very real cost that you have to give everything, that you can't suddenly worry about what people think of you. I mean, you have to step out in faith. See, people don't believe some of these things happen, and so you're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to step out in faith and pray for people. And we don't see everybody get healed. We don't understand that. We don't understand the mystery of that, of the kingdom's here, but it's not fully here. So we step out and we pray. And then you look foolish. So that's what it means to step out in faith. And so some of us just don't do it. We just stay comfortable, right? So I think this is available to everybody, but it's going to take you going after. It's going to take you pursuing God with a new passion, new energy, a new drive, willing to fast, willing to seek, willing to start going to your life group, starting to go to First Fridays and pressing into Him? You know, getting off our phones, getting off movies, stopping some of the things that might distract us. And it might actually mean spending time with God for more than 10 minutes, right? It might actually be saying yes to Him at a pretty high level. See, scuba diving isn't easy. So you've got to go to a class. You've got to get certified. You've got to pay some money. And you've got to learn how to do it. And you've got to go and you've got to put on gear. You don't just stay in Kansas. You actually have to go on a vacation. You have to go somewhere. And you have to get on this gear. Then you have to get on a boat. You have to travel out to where the coral reef is. You get out. And then you have to go down there. And you got to look around. But I'm telling you, it's a lot better than just being on the beach, right? The beach is awesome. It's better. We're all in Kansas. We get that, right? Palm trees are great. I love being on the beach. But I'm telling you, I've done it a couple times. I've scuba dived and I've sat there and I've had stingrays come and grab fish out of my hand. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty surreal. Climbing a mountain, you guys. I love hiking at Coronado Heights near Lindsberg. It's okay. I'm telling you, when we were in Peru and we climbed and hiked and we saw mountains at 16, 17,000 feet, I'm telling you, there's nothing like that. It takes your breath away. It's the glory of God there. But it's a lot of work, you guys. So I'm just saying, I think there's some things out there in the kingdom of God that everybody has access to. But it takes some work. It takes some discipline. It takes some sacrifice. And I just think God reveals Himself more to those that go after. It's free, you guys. It's available. But you've got to want it at a deep level. You've got to hunger for these things, right? I mean, honestly, could you imagine if God all gave you the ability right now to heal like crazy? I mean, think how you'd abuse that. Put it on Facebook. Wow, healed 10 people again. And you'd kind of want that about you or God, but, you know, there's like, imagine that. The healing challenge instead of the ice bucket challenge. Could you imagine? The healing, you know, we're all healing. I just think we share the glory a little too much. And so I think first we've just got to go really deep with Him. Be really humble and submit to the kingdom of God. But then, you guys, I just think there's power available to you guys. And this is not for, this is not for superhero Christians. I just think this is everyday Christianity. Jared, you want to come up and start playing a little bit? Let me just wait on the Lord. I just think God wants to minister to us. It's my heart, at least. I want to be ministered. I want the Lord to come. I think He's here. And the first thing we're going to do, as Jared plays, we're just going to stay where we're at. For a second. I'm just going to lead us in some prayer right where you're at, okay? And then I'll invite, and if some of you want to come forward, but here's what we're going to do. Let's just pray. Let's just close our eyes. Jared, just real quiet, this guitar. So right now, let's just, Lord, just come minister to us. Ask for your presence just to come right now where we're at. Close your eyes, get comfortable. Okay, so I'm going to do an exercise of just our imaginations, okay? I think God can speak through this. So I want you to come. So you've came and let's just pretend you've been hiking a little bit. You hiked, and there's the cross. Okay, everybody, picture the cross. Just imagine the blood of Jesus died on that cross, poured out His blood for you. But now He's risen to new life. I just want you to picture that no matter what you look like, just you've got all this jacked upness about you. Okay, there's no facades right now, okay? It's just you and the Lord. He sees you. But it doesn't matter. You can have a bad memory. Something happened yesterday. You yelled at your wife. You were impatient, struggled with an old sin, something happened. But I just want you to just, you know, confess that before the Lord. And then, like the ice bucket challenge, only this is the blood of Jesus, just kind of sprinkling over you, okay? Right now. And so imagine just being cleansed. Every thought, every memory is now being cleansed. Every distraction. Okay? And now, I just want you, this is by faith, you guys. This is by faith. Picture the glory of heaven. Just picture yourself going up now. Picture a stool in the presence of God. The very throne room of God. It's gold, it's shining, there's so much light. And you're there. And there's a chair right in front of the throne. There's the Holy Spirit. There's the seven spirits of God. There's lightning, all kinds of things happening. And I just want you right now to go sit down on that stool that's there, okay? There's a stool that says that it has your name. It says Benny. Grant. Jen. Pastor Rob. There's your name. And you just, it's been waiting, and you just sit down, right? It's, you didn't do anything. You still kind of feel weird about this, but it's by the blood of Jesus, so you're just coming in. So I just want you to sit now, and I want you right now to feel the love of the Father God, His embrace on you. Just feel that warmth right now coming against you. It's just warming you up. And then just ask one question. That's all we're going to do. And then we'll have some prayer. Just say, Jesus, is there anything you want to tell me right now? And let him just whisper to you again in this moment. What's he telling you? Like he's telling somebody, you belong here. I've been waiting for you to come up here, my daughter. I love to spend time with you. You don't have to leave this place. You can stay with me. This is the secret place. You can come here anytime you need. So it's just using our imaginations by faith. Try to act something that is real, it's true about us. See how this feels? It wasn't that hard, was it? Just the blood of Jesus. Find it over and over and over. So when a lie comes and the enemy and you mess up, fall in your flesh, you do something, yeah, we do need to confess our sin. This isn't to make sin, deal with it lightly. Confess and say, God, Jesus, I need a fresh application. I need a new sprinkling of the blood, and then you just go right back up. So now I'd like to invite you, I know the elders and pastor were ready, if you feel like there's just some hurt, some stronghold that you've just not been able to achieve victory over, and you need somebody just to agree with you today, I will stay here all afternoon and pray. Everybody, and I know Brother Ty, Pastor Rob, want to pray, but if you just got something, we're going to be here. I'll turn my mic off, so we're just going to be here and just minister for a little bit. then I'll close this in a little bit. We just want to take some time just to pray and encounter Jesus. There might be some strongholds that you've just been holding on to, some lies, something you just can't. We just need to just break those things off of you. And so God, just speak, minister, Holy Spirit, come, heal hearts, heal bodies. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Have your way now. Amen.
Here I am, I'm humbled by your majesty, I'm covered by your grace so free, and here I am, knowing I am sinful man. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. And now I found the greatest love of all is mine since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, Majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Majesty, forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, here I am. I'm humbled by the love that you give, forgiven so that I can forgive. Here I stand, knowing that I am your desire. I'm sanctified by glory and fire. And now I found the greatest love of all is mine since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. In the presence of your majesty. just as I am. Empty-handed but alive in your hands. Majesty, majesty, forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty,
again, forever.
Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty. And forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty.
Have any stomach pain, ulcer, anything? Anybody? I feel like God wants to heal somebody that has stomach pain today. So let's just pray. What's your name? Pearl. Okay. You want to just stand up? Can we pray for you? Your stomach pain? You've been having just, where's your, just right here? Yeah. Jesus, we just pray you'd touch Pearl in the name of Jesus right now. You'd bring healing to Pearl, to her body, to her stomach, whatever's going on. In the name of Jesus, we say right now, pain go in the name of Jesus. We ask for your presence to come to Pearl right now. God, thank you. By the blood of Jesus, we have healing of physical pain, emotional pain, and of stomach pain. So we just to say it's healed now in the name of Jesus. Pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want prayer for anything? They may have been discouraged here this week. Who's been discouraged? Raise your hand. Stand up if you've been discouraged. I'm just going to break. I've had a lot of discouragement on me, and the Lord's been breaking it off. So I'm just telling you, discouragement's a terrible thing. Think it's an attack. The enemy just wants you to just weigh in that. You've been waiting for a breakthrough of your finances. You've something, right? And you're just discouraged. So I'm just going to pray over you. Life is hard, you guys. That's not, this prayer is not, the sufferings don't go away, unfortunately. But there is absolute grace and mercy in the middle of that storm. Jesus came on a boat, and it's storming, and he's sleeping. Everybody else is freaking out. See, we can be more like Jesus and not the disciples freaking out, right? We can sleep. And then at the right time, Jesus can come and speak to a storm and say, be gone in the name of Jesus. So, it's first we got to quiet the storms internally, okay? And discouragement will just come and stir up things. So let's just pray, God, pray for those standing. Thank you for their honesty. God, you know where this discouragement's coming from. Discouragement of just being stuck. Some of you just felt absolutely stuck in a situation. Lord, I pray you'd tell them right now they are not stuck, that they can move forward in the kingdom of God. I just want you to picture, if you felt yourself stuck, I want you to picture that mud and that stuff that made you stuck is just cleaned by the blood of Jesus, and you are now moving forward. And there's still the storm around you, okay? It's still going, but you're now moving forward again instead of being stuck, okay? Picture yourself. Everybody, just if you feel stuck, just symbolically take a step forward right now, okay? Just take a step, okay? If you felt stuck, take a step. It's just a step. You're moving. In the name of Jesus, you're moving. God, I pray for those that are stuck financially. God, right now, release finances. You know the debts that are here in this church, God. Send checks in the mail. Send things, jobs, whatever it needs, God. So Some of you feel stuck with your kids. You're stuck as a parent. Lord, I just pray you'd give grace. And where this parent has been discouraged from the way their kid's acting and just feeling like a failure, the Lord wants you to know you are not a failure as a mom, okay? And a dad, you are not a failure. You're doing the very best you can. God's given you grace. Remember, love covers a multitude of sins. And that's true as a parent. So I just want you to know you are a good mom. You are a good dad. Some of you are discouraged at your job, the way you've been treated. Okay? Some of you have been treated really bad at your job. I want you to know the Lord sees you. He sees your situation, and He will give you grace in the middle of this, okay? We just know sometimes there are trials in this life. You feel passed over. You feel absolutely discouraged doing the same thing, and the Lord's just wanting to encourage your heart right now that it's okay. He sees you. So just encourage this person with their job, God. Lord, if there's a breakthrough that needs to happen, a promotion, I don't know, just grace there. Just Lord, some discouragement with physical, the ailments, God. Pray whatever healing needs to happen. Just again, grace for the physical burdens we carry, God. Lord, you know this life in the natural is tough. We're dealing with all kinds of problems and so, God, we need your supernatural kingdom to invade right now. In the name of Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus, come. If you want, just out of boldness, just open your hands. Just release your burden now to the Lord, okay? Just release it. Okay? You have to release it. Okay? Just, it's leaving, okay? It's leaving in the name of Jesus. Burdens are coming off. It's getting lighter. You're giving all burdens over to the Lord. You're laying down the weight that was on. If it would help you, take the weight off your shoulder, okay? If it would help you. This is only to help. Picture yourself taking off some weight, if that would help. It's only to help. These are, nothing's magic here. It's just symbolism. Picture yourself being free again in the Lord. Grace of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for a restoration nation, for the people of restoration. And we thank you. I pray for this pastor, God. We bless him. We speak over him. We pray that you would fill him up again. God, restore him. Continue another level of restoration that he needs and desires. Restore the physical body. Restore things in his family that he's asking for. Just restore him. Restore ministry. Restore joy, God. God, thank you that joy is in the morning. So restore him, God. Restore him right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we pray over him. Thank you for Ty and Brandy. Restore them. Pray this year really would turn a page in this year, God. There'd be a new book now, God. We pray that for Ty and bring, God, new health. Just restore them, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for Ty and Brandy. God bless their family. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I think God did something. Encourage some of you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Basic stuff, but we just need to be reminded sometimes. So you have access to his presence, his victory, and his power. Amen.